You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Victoria Cotton. Victoria has spent the last 5 years going through a radical personal healing. It happened in a flash when she realized that we are all one. Those who have had various forms of instantaneous awakening or who have had a Kundalini awakening experience know the overwhelming truth that rushes in like a dam breaking. Since she has tirelessly worked to uncover the uncomfortable truths that we all share and must face in order to move through them. We are all in the awakening process at various stages, and it changes from day to day. Opening our eyes to the way things are and not the world of illusion seen through rose-colored glasses is what Victoria is now committed to sharing. You can find her on Facebook, and her blog and YouTube channels are listed in the show bio here on BBS Radio. So let's welcome Victoria to the show now. Hi, Victoria. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, great. And where you? You're at the other end of the world, aren't you? Where are you located?
I'm currently in Barcelona.
Barcelona. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's very, very nice. I've just done a jump from the French countryside to here. So I've been very isolated just in nature for 4 years. So it's a bit of a shock. But honestly, despite all the awful things like geoengineering, it's like being on another planet. People are so connecting to Earth and relaxed. And I see so much beauty every single day. And I'm loving interacting with people again. And my dogs, too. They think that Barcelona is just one big party.
Wonderful. Well, your awakening occurred suddenly, and do you want to share a little bit about what occurred and how some of the things that you discovered once you started taking an interest in the various things that are going on in the world?
Yeah. Well, I think that those of us who are awakening now, we all had moments in our childhood that kind of pre-prepared us. And there is a moment that all those dots join together and you're pushed out. And, you know, you take a step and you start to wonder and you start to dig and it just becomes your absolute purpose. And we all find ourselves at that place through different circumstances, but there's a moment that we're ready and we just have to face it, yeah.
On Facebook, you have written about quite a few of the things that you found that are really pretty shocking to most people. I mean, the work of Harold Kautz, who is that again?
Yeah, Harold.
I always get his name.
Kautzweller. Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, it was more through I think Lily Earthling, and or maybe around the same time with Alfred Lambert Webb. Both people I like very much, among others. And yeah, I think we all kind of woke up to artificial intelligence at the same time. A lot of us have been on our own separate paths, and AI was really something that brought a lot of people together at the same time. And it's taken us to another level. It's like, it's just continuous dot joining, and you become stronger with each layer and with each door open. But this is a big one, AI. It really is.
One of my Do you hear somebody on the line?
No, I don't. This sounds like we're going to start having funny stuff like people do when they talk about this thing.
It's the strangest thing. I've got a party line on my side that's talking. So if you don't hear it, then it probably won't be on the show. So we're just going to go on.
Okay, well, can you hear me okay?
You're fine, but I hear these ladies chatting on the in the background. It's okay.
I think we have been a little bit targeted. I mean, it hasn't been all plain sailing to get to have our little chat.
Right.
I'm sure it's going to be fine now.
Right. So, how do you feel about, what do you think is the most important thing that people need to be aware of that are just in the awakening process? What is one of the things that's going to be smacking them in the face?
It's very difficult because we remember what it was like when you were really aligned with the illusion and the matrix, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, we align our beliefs with society. And even if we attach ourselves to a certain field of thought, we may think we're being unique or original, but it's really beginning to understand that, you know, everything is a lie, and it's having the courage to find your inner child. Some people have been reincarnated so many times and had their memories wiped out so many times that it's a real feat to find that pure, innocent child. But through our compassion and connection with animals and all living things, which is very much happening at the moment. There's a lot of stuff on Facebook, and you can really see that all types of people are reconnecting to that same consciousness that is in animals. And we have that within us. We have that spirit connection. And as soon as we start to have the courage to investigate and not to immediately assume that the new information is somewhere we're not allowed to go for any reason. You know, there is no right or wrong. It's just about doing what is important in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
Go ahead.
And it sounds like, you and I have both gone down the road of the idea that we're kind of, that the incarnation process or reincarnation process is, has been kind of taken over, and that we're automatically brought back in here for another round, our memory wiped. And that we're basically being used for like a human farming operation, I would call it.
Yeah, very much. I mean, Avatar is really, it's used a lot. But as long as we don't accept every angle, because, you know, we're kept in this geometrical prison, which has been created by the architect, so the observer. So as long as we are living through the eyes of an observer, we can't be in a realm of all possibility. So I'm losing my line now.
That's all right.
What was I saying again?
Well, we were just talking about the reincarnation process and how it...
Sorry. So as long as we're not completely conscious in our vehicle, and that means taking on little by little the immense lie we're living, because every time we take on another aspect of this lie, we we become more balanced and we return to a nuclear state and not a duality, you know, good and bad. And the wheel of, even the wheel of astrology, we're given star signs and yes, but the idea is to observe every other angle, every other star sign, and find those parts of the puzzle within ourselves to become whole, so that we transcend. We're not blocked. We're not that because we're that star sign, or because we're that religion, or we're that nationality. We truly are just earthlings that have to get out of this control grid. Recycling farm. Yeah, but once you're aware, you're absolutely okay. This is why it's so important to help people and to give people the courage to dig and go there, because the more you get there to the nucleus and leave duality, the more you have no more fear, and the whole spell will break. No need for a revolution. The spell will break.
Well, you know, it's some people say that all the control systems are designed to take us to a point where we where there's a snapping point, and that there's a massive awakening. For instance, the chemtrails and the vaccinations and the various things that are going on that we're all aware of are designed to create kind of a chaotic state where, at some point, humanity enters kind of a near-death experience, and at that point, it can transcend itself. And so there's a, in a sense, that would put a positive spin on all this, but I think it's important to look out into the world and see what we consent to and what we do not consent to, because only what we consent to unconsciously or consciously is going to happen. And so when the collective starts to wake up and it stops consenting to the various things that are destroying Earth and humanity and all of nature, then they will stop happening.
Yes, absolutely. And are we going to be enough to have the 100th monkey tipping point? Is there going to be some kind of suddenly finding yourself in another dimension and you're in another world because you consciously took yourself there, and we won't even see the split going on? It's really up to us, but we can't keep manifesting in a world which is perverted and, you know, satanic and all that it is. It has to be seen, and it's really not scary when enough of us see it together. And when that happens, it would be lovely to think that there could be a smooth transition, but I just think that we know how much we had to be slapped and to be hurting before we were ready to take this journey. So maybe everybody has to be slapped and hurt before they're ready, although we're dealing with many souls that are no longer feeling or have no more empathy, and they think they're already disconnected from source, so they just don't care. So I don't know, Lance.
I really don't know either. But I do know that the more that what we focus on and what we give our attention to is what we create. So there have been many years that I've focused on various conspiracy facts, and then if you fuel that with emotions, then that literally solidifies the thing that you're hating and that you can't stand, and, you know, I hate these chemtrails and blah, 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 blah. And so... Yeah. By constantly uncovering more, and there's an endless, bottomless pit of evils and horrors and corruption and so on going on, then you're simply buying into making that real. So it's really important for all of us in the awakening process to use our imagination and to create the world that we would like to have, both in our imagination, and in our reality. So it's kind of a three-level process of being aware of what's really happening in the, in the material world, and then creating an imagining the world of beauty and love and joy and that we wish to create, and then living from that creation.
Yeah, you're so right. And it really is. It really is getting that balance. When I went off in 2012 and just lived in paradise for 4 years, and I lived a complete dream, and now I'm back in the middle of the city in places where I wouldn't really want to maybe manifest my ideal living, but I thought, now it's time for me to concentrate more on my writing and interacting with people again. And so there are times and moments of how, and what I, young people, for example, when I look at my children who are just manifesting the most fantastic life, and they're a little bit aware about all that I talk about, but they're so not affected, and they're so living a creative, fulfilling lives without being trapped in the money, and just naturally, that it gives a lot of hope. But what worries me is everybody becoming mind controlled, and then by generation, not being able to reconnect to source, and depopulation, and this virus of AI just wiping us all out like locusts. But as you say, we know it's all in us. It's all in our capacity to manifest. So we can sound the alarm, but there's a moment that we also have to take the time to be thinking about the happiness and the joyous life that we're living. Otherwise, there's no point.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then also, there is an aspect to us that's infinite and eternal. So, the physical body obviously is not yet, but there are aspects of us that an aspect that is the essence that goes on. So, in a sense, there is no death and there is no birth. It's just a continuum. So, if you think of life that way, then the part of us that is eternal and infinite goes on from and on. But the lower aspects don't, and they can be ensnared in various places like this one. and our consciousness hijacked and our energies milked. And so you can see that in the religions and the politics and, in the corporate world, how and in wars and various things, how the emotions are being fueled in order to feed some kind of a system that feeds off of those things. So we're not the highest, we're not the top of the food chain by any means. If anything, at this point, we're the lowest on the food chain.
Yeah.
And, it's a hubris or ego to think that we are at the top, and yet people treat animals as if they are lower creatures. And there's so much abuse and disrespect for all things that are really, everything is sacred if you just wake up to it. Every step we take is a sacred step, as you know.
Yeah.
So, it's a matter of waking up to that. And, we're reaching a point where things just have to shift in some direction or split off, it seems. Doesn't it seem like that to you?
Yeah. It's just getting ridiculous, because I spend a lot of time really imagining with all my heart that my way of seeing the world is somehow connecting to everybody else like trees, tree roots would in a woods. I feel like that just by deepening my knowing and becoming less and less afraid, that I can spread that feeling just naturally to people. But then when there's a big false flag, like Paris, you see everybody go straight back into the fear, to the duality, to the constant fragmenting and traumatizing of humans. And then there's all this fake superficial emotion and caring, and the hypocrisy is like a stab it hurts. Like the first time I ever noticed what hypocrisy was as a child, and obviously I've caught myself doing it too, I mean we've all done it, but I think it's just one of the worst. The hypocrisy and the absolute, so I get upset. I think that people are really there, and then I think, oh no, but then I've just wasted all my energy and I should maybe now just move away. I think a lot of people, awake people, are now thinking, is it time to stop sounding the alarm now and just get on with creating?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And of course, the most important thing that is to remain neutral and not go into fear. Because all of these false flags are designed to put us into a state of fear. And when we're afraid, we can't be accessing our authentic selves. And that is part of the process that continues to go on. And all of these little things that go on in the world are planned out precisely for their fear factor. And they've worked in the past, but... I had Jay Widener on the show one night, and he was talking about, I think it was, it was one of those major events where there were a lot of killings, and mm-hmm. he said he was just shocked that none of that was real. It was all like a stage play, and he said that everybody was paid off to do that. I think it was Sandy Hook, and I wasn't paying too much attention to it because I just know that they're... Yeah, I know what they are, and I just don't give them too much attention. But another friend of mine, Anelia Benz, was talking about it, and she said, well, yes, you can't kill people. I said, well, why didn't they just kill the people? Why didn't they really kill them instead of paying them all off and hiring actors? And she said, because if the collective does not consent to it, it can't happen. So I realize that if we are awake and aware, or even remotely awake, and don't consent to these things, that by pulling our consent in the collective consciousness, then those events are not possible, and they have to find ways around them. So they can't just kill everybody. They got to buy them off and make it look like it happened the way it did. So... our consent is really important, and you can't consent or deny it to things unless you're aware of what's going on. So that's why it's important to be awake and aware, not because we have to take in all these horrible things, but so that we can know what we consent to and what we do not consent to, and not just allow it to happen unconsciously without our awareness.
Absolutely. But, I mean, people do still get killed in these false flag events. Are you saying that because, you see, in Paris, because I was so much in Paris and in that kind of world, everybody knows, there's a lot of people who know somebody who was killed. So it's very, I'm seeing it from this first-hand perspective, where it's not just something happening in America or with the two events in Paris this year. Both times, I know people directly, so I wonder what's really going on.
Right.
But I know, like you know, but I wouldn't say on the radio the things that I can feel and see through and But it certainly seems that the people are saying that so-and-so, like the two boys that will run a restaurant, a lot of the people that I knew in Paris knew them. So my whole Facebook was covered with, you know, these people really lost... So what really happened, you and I know what kind of things could have happened, but I'm dealing with it very live because it's so close to home. where I lived, and so it's and then you also face for the first time just how sensitive people get, and because you know how boisterous I can be on Facebook, I have lost my friends are deeply offended. And I was trying to be softer than normal, but I offend my friends. But, I'm not looking for friends, as you know, how we do it, where I try to be just as authentic as possible. And but it's a different angle to have observed all this, having so many people who have been touched in Paris.
Right. Well...
Yeah.
Yes, and of course, there is a bigger picture that, when you step back and you start looking at the control of countries and the world in general, that it starts to make sense how these little puzzle pieces fit together and how countries are being influenced and taken over. At the lower levels, there's always another level to look at things. And then at the emotional level, we have friends that we love, and I think that that's important that we never lose that quality, because that's something that artificial intelligence and the technologies don't have, and I don't see how they can build it in. It will always be an artificial response. A robot will crinkle the lips to move them up a little bit to make a smile. But it will never be an authentic from the heart smile, I don't think. Now, maybe in a million years they'll have that kind of thing where they actually feel and the rest of it, and then there won't be any difference. I mean, all be a seamless unit. But presently, I don't see that happening.
No.
But there is a takeover of artificial intelligence and robotics and transhumanism, and it is a nanotechnology, and people are largely unaware of the idea that there is nanotechnology being used on them now, and that people are being microchipped without their consent, or without their conscious consent. Unconsciously, we consent to a lot of things, but that can happen through smart dust, and through nanotechnology that's delivered through chemtrails. So Morgellons disease is an offshoot of that, and people get these self-replicating nanobots, and their body resists it, and so all of a sudden you have these, oddly enough, they're red, white, and blue wires coming out of their skin. So it's very interesting to be around in this time, wouldn't you say?
Well, you say the red, white, and blue. This is exactly, for me, what I see with everyone posting the red, blue, and white flag on their Facebook. That is a representation of the duality of the binary code being merged for the singularity, which is the Google singularity, to make ultraviolet white violence.
Yeah.
And you say the Morgellons are white, red, and blue, and it really is a kind of symbolism of the merging. But it doesn't have, if you're aware, there's an incredible guy out there doing videos on how to protect yourself from nanoparticles. He speaks in his basement, I can't remember what he's called, but he's very funny. And he gives you, have you seen him? He shows you, how to make a machine with copper and to protect yourself from nanoparticles.
I don't know if I've seen that one in particular, but I just take some tin foil and wrap it around my head. I poke a couple of holes in for eyes and then a straw for the mouth, and nobody notices. I just go on as normal.
Well, I just say to myself, do your job, buddy, sort it out, because I trust you and you can just clean yourself out. So I just talk to my body and do it that way.
Right.
But that's, that's all we, you know, if you're really aware of how powerful we are, you do kind of start to get to that level where you're just not afraid, and you say that you know that you're all your cells and your whole body is working as one with you. And we can clean ourselves out, but it's just saying it and taking, for me, that's what meditation is. When people are talking about or meditating for peace at the moment, if people aren't consciously meditating on the reality of that, it's not concentrating on it. It's just you have to be aware of it to happily meditate of where we want to go. But you can't really meditate on just peace and love if you don't have a conscious awareness of what's really happening. So meditation without that, I think, is just like charging batteries with false flags. We have to meditate consciously, which is what I do. I just think I think that I'm protecting, you know, all of us. I'm telling the cells of the body of the humans to do their work and protect people. And as soon as there are enough humans consciously doing this, all the spell will be completely broken.
Right. You brought up some very important points that we can communicate with the cells and all parts of our body within, and that when we're focusing on the projection out there, that we're not being present, that everything, the stars and the galaxies, are all within us. So one of the little tricks I use is sometimes when I'm identified with something out in the world is I will shift everything. Well, that's out there, and that's not real. So imagine that all of that is inside of you. And that's one of the ways that I flip that around. And as for actually taking care of the physical, I take a heavy metal detox daily, and distilled water will clean out all of the heavy elements from the body. So there's really inexpensive ways to do that.
Yeah, I don't do anything at all. I just eat very well and swim, but I really don't do anything in particular. But I must look into distilled water. I still don't really understand how you do distilled water. What does that mean exactly, distilled water?
Oh, it's water that has been through water distillation, just like nature uses the distillation process to gather water vapor up into the clouds, and then it rain is the effect of that, and it doesn't. The distillation process removes all of the heavy elements. So if there's uranium in the water, or fluoride, or chlorine, or anything like that, if you use a water distiller, it turns the water into vapor, and it gets lighter and lighter, and then it collects that water vapor, which is lighter than any of the heavy elements that I just mentioned, and then that water is what you drink. And so it has a natural capacity for removing heavy elements out of the body.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, I did used to have the thing you put next to the kettle and you put your water in it and it cleans that. So I reckon that's a little one, but I think that you can probably buy proper distilling machines, right?
Oh, yes. And you know, it's okay to buy it from the store, too. one of my guests, Andrew Norton Weber, has done a great deal of research on this, and he has a Facebook group called Distilled Water. And people are healing themselves of cancers and various other things by using distilled waters. And so it was through Andrew that I first found out about it. And then I told a friend of mine the next day, Anelia Benz called up and she was talking. She says, well, I found this water distiller. I don't know what to do with it. And I said, well, I just heard about all this from Andrew Norton Weber. I said, just use it. And she's been on it ever since, and she's just raves about it. So when then at the bottom, after you've distilled, however many gallons it will distill, there's this muck that you have to clean up. And that was what was in the water. And that's what goes into our bodies. And our bodies, in their natural wisdom, take that and it tries to get rid of it through the skin. But what it can't get rid of, it tucks away in various places where it won't do any harm. And that's why people get arthritis and they can't, you know, as they get older, they start getting, you know, bone problems and eye problems and all kinds of things that are unnecessary.
Oh, thank you. That's going to be my, I would like one for Christmas.
Good idea. But I just go to Walmart and buy it for 98 cents a gallon and because they can't mess with the labels. I mean, they literally can't put something in it that is not there. So they do have bottled water that has extra fluoride, and only an idiot would buy that because fluoride is an inorganic chemical that calcifies the pineal gland.
Absolutely.
So that's something you want to stay away from, and that's why fluoride is in the water. Hitler used it during Nazi Germany to dumb down the masses, and here we are in the United States after Project Paperclip, having brought over 50,000 Nazi scientists, and here we are dumping, what, inorganic fluoride in all of the drinking water. So there's a reason why we're dumbed down. It's because they don't want us to be able to think. And people that think for themselves are astute, and they can see what's going on, and they can't have that. So
yeah.
Everything is the book is being thrown at us, because if you were in power and you had trillions of dollars and you were running the global universe and had plans for taking over humanity, why would you want to let people know about it? And why would you want to smarten them up? They've got all the smart people. They either create them through cloning or they pick them out of schools first. And so, yeah, I wouldn't. I'd dumb everybody down so that I could keep my position. Heck, yeah, that's what I would do. But since I have a heart and some empathy, I wouldn't do that.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Empathy plays such a role in the diminution of the brain. Empathy is what keeps us connected to being intuitive, spirit-based, heart-based, manifesting humans. And I would say not only with the fluoride, but a lot with just the lack of empathy with the social engineering, the competitive spirit. There's a couple of lovely articles I just saw today about how people are not given the right to grieve and that we're not allowed to express ourselves in, you know, there was one about swearing today, and that, you know, people should be allowed to get through the pain of very traumatic experiences like losing a child or illness or death in any way, or the things, just people go through hell and they must have empathy around them and be able to express the pain. And if that means sometimes shouting, and I remember I went through 2 years maybe of anger coming out of me in the beginning, like 3 or 4 times a day. And slowly, over a long period, it just completely goes. But I'm so glad that I always express the pain, and it's good to let it out as well. And it doesn't have to be directed at anybody. It's just helping yourself heal.
Mm-hmm.
Screaming
mm-hmm.
forest or but no, the two articles were about that we should let people must be allowed to express themselves. There's so much suppressed so much suppressed pain, and people don't offer empathy because it's like, buckle yourself up, you've got to get through this. They know they've got to get through it, but they also need to be allowed to be given the space to mourn and to have the empathy of others. You know, it's a necessary process, and we don't talk about that a lot. I only mention it because I've just seen these two articles today, and it made me think that sometimes I can be too tough on people who are maybe mourning, thinking, oh, well, sometimes when we're away, we think, oh, well, we don't ever suffer or worry because we're not afraid of dying. But we mustn't forget what it is for people to lose people, and and the empathy needed to help people go through their hell.
Right, right. And at some point, you kind of reach a point where you remain in neutral, or, you know, there's a neutral space within.
Exactly.
And that seems to be the most balanced place for
us. It takes time to get there. It takes a long time to get there.
Yeah, yes. And sometimes, and to get back there and to stay there, yes, I agree with you. It does take a long time, many lifetimes,
probably.
You do suddenly
get thrown out. You do suddenly have a relapse. I think a lot of us have had a relapse since Paris. I think that, you know, we're all trying to surf these waves. But, you know, the more we, it's just like giving birth. It really is. You know, when you're sick, there's nothing you can do. You just have to kneel down and let your body do it. There's nothing you can do. It's the same thing with giving birth. It's completely letting go, and just going with the waves. I had my first child very young. I was just 18, a couple of weeks before he was born, and I gave birth to him alone, and there was just a midwife, and she kind of came a bit later, and he was born very quickly. And I just automatically did this little wave thing where I just felt, okay, we're going up on a wave, we're coming back down on a wave. And I went into a little meditation like a wild animal, maybe because I was very young. And there was no screaming, there was no interference, there was no, you know, injections, or it was just a very calm process. And there are, it is very much like that. It's, and at the moment there's so much happening, and the waves can get bigger, and it's just about finding that middle ground. And that is easier as we become more and more authentic and more accepting of who we are and knowing ourselves.
Well said. When you had that awakening on that feeling, or that knowing that we are all one, can you describe how that manifested for you?
Yeah, I had been in Paris for 5 years doing, you know, events and parties in a very live and full-on lifestyle. It was great, great fun, and I met lots of incredible people. All the experiences in my life have been just fantastic. I've had so much fun. But one day, literally, I woke up just as things weren't going so well, and I was thinking, but, you know, I was doing everything right. I wanted everybody to love each other. I wanted, you know, I really thought that by dancing around in clubs, I could bring everybody into a kind of tribal, happy, love dance. That was my purest intention. And, I had a great time, and a lot of things happened. But you obviously can't do good in nightclubs in the middle of, you know, I didn't know anything about the satanic world we're in. I didn't know anything about energies. I was just jumping into the world, trying to have fun and get everybody to be happy. And so I went through lots of ups and downs. And one morning I just woke up, and I sat up, and it was the deepest, deepest knowing. And I just went, oh, we're all one. and I then had very much... I went through weeks of just floating, and in those days, because, you know, we've all had our own paths, but in those days I was very touched twice by the book Conversations with God. So once in my divorce 10 years before this, and then again during this, And it just helped me to get grounded again and to cope with these energies coming into me. And, you know, then I was at a very vulnerable state, because when we first wake up, we do kind of float around. And I went straight into quantum physics. I immediately started to understand quantum physics. And I know, but it was a big jump from somebody who had thrown themselves completely into the matrix and hadn't seen anything. But thank goodness, with that experience of understanding that everything was one, it took me through quantum physics, and then the whole conspiracy thing began. And I've fallen into lots of traps. I've done everything. I've done New Age and And then you know, it takes time. You know what, we all know what it's like. We're all doing it, but becoming centered and grounded and balanced in the elements is what we're trying to do.
Right.
But it was very dramatic. No, it was just, oh, we're all one. And then, and I didn't know anything yet. You know, I hadn't seen any of the people speaking. I wasn't at all in the alternative. I was just I was 44 years old by that time, having a great time, partying in Paris. I loved everybody. I loved bringing lots of artists together and doing lots of creative projects, and it was such fun. But there's a moment that you can't manifest in a world that is upside down.
right, exactly. All the sacred symbols have been reversed, and they're used against us. They're reversed and upside down. So everything that we see is actually the opposite of what it appears to be.
So until you start to click onto that, you know, you start to manifest differently, and your life changes and your friends change. And but you know, if you're lucky, I think that even if my friends. I really believe that the reason when I went to Paris, I made up a word. I didn't know what I was going to do. I'd just come out and I arrived there and I thought, well, what am I going to do? I don't want to be a secretary in an office all day.
Right.
And so I made up a name and it was Vicky Vibes. And I really liked the little name I'd made up. But then I had to find a job that went with the name. So then I made a logo, which was a big heart pumping, and it actually looks very occultism because it's like a big V in a circle, and now I know what all that means today. I mean, I must have been a little bit, I must have been a little bit taken over. I was kind of going off into the matrix, but my intention was always pure, and I had a big following in Paris, and I really believe that the reason I took that name Vicky Vibes and had a big following was because the universe wanted people to observe my awakening. And boy, did they observe my awakening, because I went from being crazy Vicky to living in the middle of the countryside looking after walkers. So I really believe that I was meant to touch a certain world in the middle of Paris. And so whether they think I'm crazy, or I think that people genuinely know that I'm doing it because I love everybody. And I think that they even if they were a little angry in the beginning, now they just accept what I'm doing and they know I love them and we still love each other. And I make new different friends as I evolve. But we do this journey with a whole load of other people as well. We every time somebody begins to turn themselves inside out, a whole load of other people get touched.
Right. And it affects quite a few people, whether we're aware of it or not.
Yes, it's like the pebble, you know, when we're really centered, it just pebbles out, and the ripples go very far if we're very centered.
Well, we have about five more minutes left before we have to start wrapping things up. So I just thought I'd let you know, in case there's anything in particular that you wanted to talk about before the end of the show.
Well, maybe you may feel that there's something we haven't covered. Is there anything you think that we should say?
Well, it's up to you. I mean,
what have we not? I've been very happy talking to you. It's kind of flowed along. I haven't really. What could we say to finish?
Okay.
I think just for people to do what we've been saying, to take that little time every single day to center ourselves. I swim, and it's fantastic in Barcelona. All winter you can swim outside in the sun, and I try to go on days when there aren't too many chemtrails, and I walk in the park with my dogs. And just the things that bring us back to ourselves and connect us to nature, if we keep doing that every day and keep checking ourselves that what we're doing is in a line with taking the time to see what's going on in the world. There's a moment everyone's going to have to stop lying because that wall is going to come down.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's just never being afraid, just getting back-centered and giving as much love out as possible and taking the time to recharge yourself and not give out to anything else, to any of the programs that we've been indoctrinated with.
Right, absolutely true. Now, you have a blog and a YouTube channel, and you're on Facebook, so if you'd like to mention where people can find those things, that would be great. It's on the bio, so they'll be able to find it in the archive shows. But if you'd like to mention that now, where people can get hold of you, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Well, it's all very recent. It's all since I've just come to Spain and had the time. So there's just the blog with a few articles, a few videos that at the time of AI, and Facebook, which is beginning to get full. I might have to open another page. And I'm very much hoping once I'm more settled to really attack my book. And voila, that's where you can see me.
Well, I sure wish I could visit you there in Barcelona, but
yes. You never know. I mean, I can see myself. This is the problem with me. I'm already imagining myself having a little restaurant here that would help the people. I'd like to have a place where people the street mix with tourists, and
like
have conferences and where artists can expose their stuff. So this is my problem. The minute I'm in a city, I see all.
Well, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, but hopefully we could maybe make something happen in Barcelona. I would love that.
Well, Victoria, I want to thank you for coming on the show today and sharing your experiences. And it's been a pleasure talking to you. And I will see you on Facebook. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Lance.
All right. Good night.
Bye.